Have you ever looked at something seemingly chaotic? Maybe how crystal grows, or the edge of a coastline, or even just like a coffee stain spreading out, and wondered if there's some kind of hidden order underneath all that randomness. Well, what if I told you that often, behind that apparent chaos, there are these profound mathematical principles at work? Universal laws just waiting to be found. Today on the Deep Dive, we're plunging into a really fascinating area where physics meets probability theory. Our guide is this paper, it looks dense, I know, called Probability Distribution of the Free Energy of the Continuum, Directed Random Polymer in 1 plus 1 Dimensions by Amir, Corwin, and Quastel. Now, don't worry about the title too much. Our mission here is to unpack how this work gives us a kind of shortcut to understanding these universal laws. And it reveals some really surprising connections, between different scientific fields you might think have nothing in common.
That's absolutely right. This paper, it really lays down a solid mathematical framework. It helps us describe how randomness itself actually shapes interfaces, shapes systems as they evolve over time. It's about, quantifying the unpredictable in a way that brings clarity to these complex systems.
Okay, let's unpack this. So, where do we even start with this complexity?
Well, at the heart of a lot of these random growth phenomena is a model called the Kardar-Parisi-Zhang equation, or KPZ for short.
Easy, right?
The paper calls it perhaps the default model of stochastic growth of a one-dimensional interface. And it's huge in physics. It describes so many things: a melting ice cube surface getting rough, bacterial colonies expanding, even how a flame front moves. It's kind of the go-to model.
Okay, the go-to model. But I sense a but coming.
Exactly. Here's the problem, the real scientific dilemma. Despite being so useful, the KPZ equation is notoriously difficult to actually solve mathematically. The main issue is this specific nonlinear term it has. What happens is the solutions, as time goes on, they get incredibly jagged, really, really rough. Locally, they start looking like Brownian motion.
Brownian motion,
Yeah.
like dust dancing in a sunbeam, that random walk.
Precisely that kind of erratic movement, and that extreme jaggedness makes that crucial nonlinear term, mathematically speaking, ill-defined.
Ill-defined. What does that mean practically? Like the math just breaks.
Pretty much, if you try to plug those incredibly rough, wobbly values directly into the equation using standard math tools, the calculations just fall apart. You end up with answers that don't make any physical sense, which is obviously a huge roadblock if you're trying to model the real world.
So what you're saying is we have this incredibly powerful model, captures reality beautifully for so many systems, but it's like a mathematical minefield to actually work with rigorously.
That's a great way to put it, a classic scientific bind.
So how did they get around that? This paper must have found a way.
They did, and it's really quite brilliant, a kind of mathematical judo move. The correct interpretation, as they put it, uses something called the Hof-Cole transform. It's a clever way to redefine the height of the growing interface. Let's call it H, not directly, but in terms of the logarithm of another quantity. They call this quantity Z.
Okay, so they switch variables basically from H to Z.
Exactly. And Z is the key. Because this quantity, Z, turns out to be the solution of a much, much nicer equation, the stochastic heat equation, or SHE.
Ah, the SHE. I've heard of that one. More manageable.
Much more manageable. It's well-defined, well-behaved. So instead of wrestling the ill-defined KPZ beast, they transform the problem into one about this diffusion equation. It's like swapping, I don't know, a tangled mess of wires for a neat circuit board. It represents the same system, but it's way easier to analyze. That connection is crucial.
Powerful indeed.
Yeah.
And this Z isn't just a math trick, right? It has some physical meaning too. The paper mentions something about a polymer.
Yes. That's another beautiful layer here. They introduce the continuum-directed random polymer, or CDRP, and it turns out that the logarithm of Z, with some normalization, some scaling, is the free energy of this polymer.
Free energy. So, like, how much energy the system wants to minimize?
Sort of. Imagine a flexible string, the polymer, trying to find the lowest energy path through a landscape full of random bumps and valleys. That path's energy is related to Z, so the complex growth of an interface gets linked to the statistics of this wiggling polymer. It's a really neat conceptual bridge.
That is neat. Okay, so we have the SHE, we have the polymer. What about how the whole process starts? Does the initial shape matter? The paper mentions a delta function initial condition.
It absolutely matters. That delta function condition for the SHE, it's like starting everything from a single, infinitely sharp point.
Like the tip of a needle.
Exactly. For the polymer, it means they're calculating the point-to-point free energy, the energy cost for the polymer to get from one specific starting point to a specific endpoint. And for the original KPZ equation, this translates to what they call narrow wedge initial conditions.
Narrow wedge. I can picture that. Like a sharp mountain peak starting to erode and grow outwards.
Precisely. It's a very specific, sharp starting shape. And studying this initial condition is key to their main result.
Which brings us to the main discovery, the big payoff.
Yes. Their main achievement, the core result, is getting explicit formulas for the probability distributions of this free energy, FDX, which, remember, also describes the SHE solution and the KPZ height started from that narrow wedge. And these specific distributions are what they call crossover distributions.
Crossover. Why crossover? What's it crossing between?
Ugh, this is where it gets really cool. These distributions describe how the statistics change over time. They interpolate, they smoothly transition between two different statistical worlds. At very short times, right near the beginning, the fluctuations look like a standard Gaussian distribution, you know, the familiar bell curve.
Okay, simple enough at the start.
But as time goes on, as T gets large, the distribution morphs into something else entirely. The GUE Tracy-Wyndham distribution.
GUE Tracy-Wyndham. Now that's the name that rings a bell from. Isn't that from random matrix theory?
Exactly. That's the jaw-dropping connection.
So wait, random matrix theory usually describes things like the energy levels in heavy atomic nuclei or eigenvalues of huge random matrices. What on earth does that have to do with a growing coffee stain or a rough surface?
That's the profound point. The fact that this same distribution, GUE Tracy-Wyndham, pops up here in a model of interface growth, it's a massive signal of universality.
Universality, meaning these wildly different systems are somehow speaking the same statistical language.
Precisely. It suggests that deep down, the way these systems fluctuate, the statistical laws governing their randomness are identical, whether it's quantum energy levels or a macroscopic growing front. It's finding the same statistical fingerprint in completely different places. A huge aha moment in physics and math.
Wow. Okay. And they didn't just find one way to write this distribution down.
No, they actually provided three equivalent formulas, which really strengthens the result. There's the crossover Airy kernel formula, a Gumbel convolution formula, and a Kosakant kernel formula. Different mathematical clothes, but describing the exact same underlying distribution, it adds a lot of confidence to the findings.
So how did they actually do it? How did they make that leap from the starting point to finding these Tracy-Wyndham distributions? It sounds incredibly complex.
It was complex, and the method was ingenious. The paper says the proof is via a rigorous steepest descent analysis of the Tracy-Wyndham formula for the asymmetric simple exclusion process.
Whoa. Okay, break that down. Steepest descent, asymmetric simple exclusion process, ASEP.
Right. Steepest descent is a powerful mathematical technique for approximating complex integrals, often used in physics. Think of it like finding the easiest path down a complicated mathematical landscape to get the answer, an ASP. That's the crucial link model they used.
Okay, what's ASP? Give us the picture.
Imagine a line, like positions on a track, and you have particles in empty spaces, holes. Particles try to jump, maybe right with probability P, left with probability Q. Asymmetric means P and Q aren't the same, so there's a drift. And the exclusion part means a particle can only jump into an empty spot. If the spot's occupied, no jump. It's a simple-looking microscopic model, but it captures things like traffic flow or ribosomes moving along mRNA.
Okay, particles hopping on a line with rules. How does that connect to the KPZ equation in growing interfaces?
Ah, the connection is made precise through a specific version called WESEP, the weakly asymmetric simple exclusion process. This is where the difference between the jump probabilities, Q minus P, it's really, really small. Almost symmetric, but not quite. The authors say WESEP is of central interest to us because this specific limit, this WESEP model, can be shown rigorously to connect to the KPZ world, specifically to the stochastic heat equation.
So WESEP is the bridge, the translator between the little particles hopping and the big interface growing.
Exactly. It's the Rosetta Stone, connecting the discrete microscopic world to the continuous macroscopic one.
How'd they use it? You mentioned Tracy and Wyndham earlier.
Right. The absolute key tool, as the paper puts it, was earlier work, particularly by Tracy and Wyndham, who found an exact formula for the probability of finding a specific tagged particle at a certain position in ASEP. This formula, which seems like a specialized result, turned out to be the magic ingredient. Amir, Corwin, and Quastel took this ASEP formula, applied their steepest descent analysis in the WASEP limit, where it connects to SHAP, and rigorously derived the crossover distributions for the free energy, FTX.
Wow. So they use the solution from the micromodel, ASAP, to get the solution for the macro model, KPZSHE. That's clever.
It's incredibly clever.
Yeah.
And rigorous. They showed WASEP converges to the SE, then carefully analyzed the Tracy-Wyndham ASAP formula in that limit. That's how they nailed down those distributions that were so hard to get directly from KPZ.
Let's talk about some other insights. There was something you mentioned, Proposition 1.4, about the distribution FTX being stationary in X. What did that mean again?
Right. That means even though the interface is growing and changing shape, the statistical properties of the free energy, its distribution, are the same no matter where you look along the interface, the x-coordinate.
So the jaggedness, statistically, looks the same everywhere along the growing edge.
Exactly. The fluctuations are statistically homogeneous. It highlights this deep, universal pattern within the randomness. The disorder looks the same everywhere.
And you also mentioned the small-time behavior completing the picture.
Yes. Proposition 1.8 shows that as time t goes towards zero, the distribution becomes a simple Gaussian, the bell curve. So you have Gaussian at the start, GUE, Tracy-Wyndham at the end, and their formulas describe the whole smooth transition, the crossover between them. It provides the complete story over time.
And there was another connection mentioned, Painlevé II.
Just briefly, yes. And they note a connection to the Painlevé 10 equation. It doesn't change the main result, but it's significant because Painlevé equations are these very special, important, non-linear differential equations. Finding a link just further embeds their results within a web of deep mathematical structures. It shows the work resonates across different areas of math and physics.
It seems like they weren't totally alone in figuring this out, though.
That's right, and they acknowledge this. T. Sasamoto and H. Spohn independently found an equivalent formula for the distribution function, FT. And also, quite remarkably, two groups of physicists managed to re-derive the same formulas using completely different toolkits from physics. The Beth ansatz for the delta Bose gas and something called the replica trick.
The ansatz replica trick.
Yeah.
These sound like heavy-duty physics techniques.
They are. The Beth ansatz is often used for solving quantum systems, and the replica trick is a clever, but sometimes mathematically non-rigorous method from statistical mechanics. The fact that these very different approaches, including non-rigorous ones from physics, converged on the same answer as the rigorous mathematical proof using ASAP is really telling.
What does it tell us?
As the author suggests, it points towards a deeper relationship between the work of Tracy and Wyndham for ASAP and the traditional methods of the Beth and ansatz. It hints that these different ways of thinking about complex random systems might be more fundamentally connected than previously realized. Different paths leading to the same deep truth.
Okay, so let's bring this home for the listener. We've gone through KPZ, SHE, polymers, ASAP, Tracy-Wyndham. Why does all this intricate math matter for, you know, us?
Well, it matters because it reveals this hidden order, these universal rules governing randomness all around us.
It gives you those aha moments, right?
Yeah.
A faster way to grasp how things work.
Exactly. This deep dive isn't just abstract math. It shows that fluctuations in so many systems, from tiny particles to big interfaces, follow the same statistical laws.
Can you give some concrete examples? Where might we see these principles in action?
Sure. Understanding these distributions helps scientists model things like how bacterial colonies spread, maybe fluctuations in financial markets, the way traffic jams form and dissolve. Or even just understanding the roughness of materials we use every day, it's fundamentally about finding predictable patterns within apparent disorder. It gives us a better handle on complex, random systems across science and engineering.
What an amazing journey. We started with that tricky KPZ equation, saw the elegant Hopkoll transform lead to the SHE and random polymers. Then that surprising leap to random matrix theory via the GU Tracy-Wyndham distribution. All unlocked by using WASEP as a bridge and applying that sophisticated steepest descent analysis. It really showcases mathematical creativity, doesn't it?
It really does. And connecting it to the bigger picture, these findings hammer home a profound idea in science. Different systems, looking totally unrelated on the surface, often behave the same way statistically when you look closely at their fluctuations. And rigorous math is the tool that lets us uncover and precisely describe these hidden universal connections. It finds the common threads.
So maybe a final thought for our listeners to chew on.
Well, it does raise an interesting question, doesn't it? Think about all the other random-looking processes in your own life. Maybe how cracks form in the sidewalk, or how rumor spreads online, perhaps even how our own brains generate ideas. How many of these might also be governed by some underlying universal statistical laws, like the KPZ universality class, just waiting for someone to find the right mathematical lens to reveal them? What other hidden orders are out there waiting to be unveiled?
That's a fantastic question to ponder. What unseen mathematical rules are shaping our world? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into random growth and universal statistics. We hope you found some surprising insights and maybe see a little more order in the chaos around you.